Welcome back to the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast, episode number 115, Pursuing Permanent Progress with Brian Pickowitz and Lindsay Rago, owners of The Fitness Project and host of Conquer the Day podcast. They are extremely powerful speakers and leaders in their space, and they have devoted their business to helping high-level business executives gain energy and conquer their day with their lifestyle coaching strategies. Their methods are very aligned with ours here at the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast, but they also offer a very unique perspective to health and fitness, and we get deep into a conversation about who you're becoming in this wonderful journey of personal development. Now, we don't interrupt this show midway with sponsored ads or asking you for ratings and reviews. So while you're just getting settled, we ask that you just take 2 seconds to show your support by giving it a 5-star review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Ratings and reviews allow us to bring more knowledgeable and influential people onto the show for you to learn everything possible about science and sustainability with respect to your goals. If you like this episode in particular, screenshot it and tag us on Instagram to show your support. One share could be the catalyst for someone in your life to transform their body, their health, and their fitness for good. And of course, it helps our show grow too, and we appreciate that. Thanks again for listening. Now, we don't take your attention for granted, so let's get right into it. Episode number 115, Pursuing Permanent Progress with Brian Pickowitz and Lindsay Rago. All right, welcome back to the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast. And today, Christina and I are going to be interviewing some good friends of mine, as well as some experts in the field. And today we have Brian Pickowitz. Did I say that right? And Lindsay Rago. Great. And they are just awesome people, business owners, high achievers, and just killers in the industry. So today, we're just going to be picking their brains and really diving into like what they do, their processes, and the value and the knowledge that they have to share for our audience here at the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast. And then from that and where the conversation goes, we'll pull what the hook title will be for this episode. But how about we just have you guys start? And I mean, you can go individually, you can talk on each of your own stories, or you can kind of meld them together. I'm sure you have rehearsed some of this in the past. So tell us about yourselves, your journey, and just a little bit about who you are.
Love that. Love thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. We're grateful we could make it happen before the new year. So
yeah, and so our background started probably close to 2015, 2016. I was playing college football. I found fitness as a result of trying to muster the courage to try out for college football. I came from a small town in New Hampshire, didn't have a lot of confidence when I arrived in college and talked myself out of trying out for the team. I found bodybuilding and I started to kind of build up some sense that I could do it. And I tried out, played for a while, and then I realized that I really just loved bodybuilding. And so I ended up losing 70 pounds in 6.5 months. I competed in my first show. I won my junior year in college. And then simultaneously, Lindsay and I started dating. And we just kind of started this passion of being healthy, being fit together. And I'll let her kind of share her own journey. But really what happened was we started to bridge the gap between seeing fitness as just the pursuit of the body into more of living a healthy life and being a cornerstone of personal growth. And, you know, we come from a small town in New Hampshire where, you know, a lot of the people stay in this area and they stay where the opportunities are. And we're like, hey, let's dream bigger. Let's go for something different. And so right after Lindsay graduated from college, a year after I graduated from college, we moved to Los Angeles. We pursued professional bodybuilding. We realized that that wasn't really where our heart was set. And then we had this opportunity for one of our coaching clients who wanted someone to come and live with them. And so we moved in with them for 1-2 months. And we really got to understand how a high executive person lives their life and also how to make fitness live work for their life too. And mm-hmm. So since then, we've really made it our focus for the last 4 years to help the individual who is striving figure out how to make fitness and nutrition and health work for them in their day-to-day life rather than thinking that their whole life has to be fitness in order for them to get results or find happiness.
Yeah, I think that's a great summary. And my story is pretty, along the lines, right? We ran parallel paths for a while. So my story was more along the lines of finding fitness at a young age. I started going to Planet Fitness when I was like 15, 14 and just doing lat pull downs and crunches. But I always wanted to figure out fitness. So it was something that was always top of mind. I was always trying to lose weight in my own mind. And I'd go up and down and was living the yo-yo cycle for probably 8 years or so. It honestly started when I was 12, started losing and gaining weight. Once I got into college and Brian and I reconnected because we knew each other in high school. Once we reconnected.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We met when we were like 12.
Yeah. Lindsay played in a band and I played in a band too. And I was like, their band's not as good as our band. And she's like, he's cocky and annoying. And then, we were kind of friends, acquaintances in high school. And then we started dating in college.
We reconnected in college because Brian had like long-term girlfriends forever. And he was doing a photo shoot in Boston because he had just gotten ripped, as he just said in his little story there. And he was sending me pictures like while he was at the photo shoot. He was like, I'm doing a photo shoot in Boston. I was like,
He was Snapchatting
me. And he said something like, let's hang out. And I was like, well, why don't you bring your girlfriend? Definitely dropped like the sass bomb on him. But
he had broken up with her.
He was not being promiscuous, but he had broken up with her. So once we started dating, and I started to see, oh, he has like this fitness like thing that I want, like this knowledge that I want. I opened myself up to be helped, right? Like I never had asked anybody for help or for support before. And he offered me just the opportunity to kind of learn how to train and train with him while he was competing in bodybuilding. So I had like 40 pounds to lose. And I was like, sure, let's do it. And we just started training together a little bit, and he started teaching me a little bit about macros. And I realized that there were so many things that I was missing that I had no knowledge of whatsoever. And just like after that, I lost like 40 pounds. And that's where I said, okay, time for me to step on stage. I'm going to do this. From there, then I prepped for a show and I competed the year after he did, won or got third place, then was super hungry. Competed again, won the biggest show in New England, and then went to nationals. And then we pivoted basically back to his story where we're like, okay, this is very unhealthy. We lived with that client. We saw how normal people live their lives or high level executives live their lives. And we decided we wanted to go a very different route, much more lifestyle, habit change focused, behavior change focused. And that's where we've been pretty much ever since we started this company in 2020. So we joined together instead of coaching separately at that point, and we've been building this company ever since.
Oh yeah, that's really cool. I have so many more questions that just came out of all of that, but that is really interesting that like Lindsay, your like, I guess, what's the best word, awakening in fitness was like through Brian and like his knowledge, which is so rare because like most like couples just cannot collaborate on that whatsoever. But you also very run true. A business together. So I think it's very telling at like you guys' ability to work together and communicate and collaborate as well.
Yeah. I would say that we definitely started that from a very much the onset, and maybe that's kind
true.
Of, I remember I was 3 or 4 weeks out from a contest and Lindsay wanted to work out with me. And I said, you can work out with me, but the moment you break my focus, like I love you. Like it's very like, I'm not going to like say anything negative. She's like, you gotta go, like, you gotta go train on your own because I'm here to win. And that was the first day I ever benched 100-pound dumbbells. Cause she was like, all right, let's go. And so I think that
is very telling.
I think that there's also a lot of challenges in the course of our relationship. Like we moved to Los Angeles with knowing absolutely no one, we worked for ourselves. So I had my coaching business. She had her coaching business. We were doing everything by ourselves and we didn't really have a support system. So there's been a lot of times where I had to build those communication pathways or work through disagreements and have to kind of untangle some emotions, but it's been a process and getting better every day.
Yeah. And you're getting married next fall. Yeah. Is it? I have the save the date on my fridge.
Yeah.
Yes. Next fall, next September.
Exciting. Yay. I'm going to go
off track here a little bit, and then we'll come back to fitness. I'm curious, this will actually probably relate still, you know, how you mentioned fitness is our cornerstone, our platform for personal growth. And I couldn't agree more, because once you start, you know, checking the boxes on your fitness goals, you're like, man, what else can I do? Like, I'm capable of things. But you mentioned that you both grew up in a small town in New Hampshire. And I find that this is something that can often, you know, come up in the realm of personal growth. Like, what have you found were like small town mentality things that you saw in yourselves that you had to outgrow to become who you are today?
That's a good one for you. You can start that one.
Well, I think that it's a matter, and it's a challenging thing, because I love where we're from, and I love the people that we're from, that are from that area. And I love being home, you know, different times. We're actually in New Hampshire right now. We're recording this for Christmas and for the holidays. So what I found is outgrowing the perception of how much success you can have. And I think that a lot of that is dictated based off of other people's perception of you. I have a mentor who says it's hard to be a hero in your hometown because people always want to put you in a box. And that doesn't mean that you have to be rude to people. Doesn't mean you have to. I think that a lot of people, when they see something that they want and they see that other people say that they can't have it, they want to fight those people, whether that's through emotion, through words, or through physicality. And that's not the approach that I find to be helpful. What I find to be helpful is to be so certain in yourself that whatever anyone else is going to say to you just washes off your back. Mm-hmm. When I first started modeling, I had people who, this is 2016, 2017, you know, something around 2015, actually. Yeah. 2015, 7 years ago. Obviously, the world's changed a lot since then, but when I first started modeling, I had kids take from my hometown who I went to high school with, take my modeling photos and turn them into memes and making fun of me, saying I was gay and that I was in the closet, and posting them all over social media and tagging me and things like that. And it was just like such a interesting thing, because I can't imagine treating someone that way. I couldn't imagine treating someone that way. And you know, I told them, like, what if I was actually gay and that caused me to harm myself, or that was the thing that pushed me over the edge? Like, you don't understand people's psychology, and that's not a wise move. My point in saying that is having to go against what other people perceive you as, you have to be so certain in yourself, and you have to continue to surround yourself with people who have what you want. Whether that's your body, your health, your relationships, your financial status, like whatever it is that you want, the fastest way to get it is to learn from someone who already has it. And I think that the second best thing is to make sure that the people who you're surrounding yourself with are going to allow you to psychologically develop into the person and that can have those things, because success is an internal journey that manifests externally.
Mm. Yeah, you made me think of have you read The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks?
Mm-hmm. It's a good one.
Love that book. It, you just kind of reminded me of that, where we kind of will sabotage ourselves if we're not psychologically ready for the next step, the next level. For a lot of people, that's keeping the weight off. They don't believe that they deserve to actually live in that body for the rest of their life, so they self-sabotage and they continue to go through the yo-yo cycle because it's comfortable and it's what they know and it's what they believe, that, you know, the cap of what they believe they can deserve, that their success is only short-lived. So I love that. And I think that building that certainty, we can definitely get into, you know, ways that they can do that with their fitness and their body. Look at that segue right back.
So good. Yeah, I would love that. So say that again. Certainty, building certainty in their body so that it becomes like the new norm. Is that what we're thinking?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of like my whole thing, right? Is like, all right, you just lost weight. That's great. But like permanent, let's make it permanent. So, and I think what you said is very true. It comes from building that certainty in yourself so that you're not shaken when other people try to push drinks on you at the bar and you're trying to, you know, keep to a limit, or they, you know, try to box you into the person that you were who ate four Big Macs in one sitting or whatever it was, right? Mm-hmm. And being able to be certain in those habits against other people, but also against the inner battles that you probably also have, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I honestly, when I think about what creates, there's so many things that does that do create a permanent change when it comes down to like your daily habits, your daily routines. I would prefer to go high level, because when I think of what did it actually take for me to break the cycle? What did it actually take for me to realize that this was my new body? One thing that has been present ever since is this very clear push and clear pull in my mind. By that, I mean, there is always the realization and the understanding that all of those old habits that existed that created that overweight or unhealthy version of me, those are things that I could go back to. Like, I could easily gain weight again and feel insecure again. That reality is honestly still in my mind as a possibility, and it keeps me pushing towards what I actually want. So although that dissipates, it's no longer a fear of gaining weight, it's still an honest look at where I was that keeps me saying, hey, what I'm working towards and what I have today is what I actually want, and I'm never going back, right? But that honest look in the mirror, that's where I was. That's what I lived through. That's what I experienced. That is very real. And I really never, ever in my whole life want to be there again. That's enough of a push for me to say, this is my new normal and I won't go backward. So you have to have that. And you always have it when you start a journey. But a lot of people get comfortable and get to the point where they forget where they were and they slowly trickle back, right? Like, they let go of weighing themselves. They let go of all of these healthy things that they've started to do with their lives until they're now looking in the face of what they used to be. And now it's the reality again. And they're like, oh no, it's because they kind of thought that everything would be as it was. It would maintain naturally, right? So you have to have a push, in my opinion. And then you also have to have always, always, always a pull. And people forget that too. A pull says, there's something so clear and compelling in my future, even if it's just me tomorrow, like feeling and looking good, right? You always have to have something that's pulling you into the future that says, where I'm at today is fantastic, but what else can I do? Kind of to your point, Marissa, what you said. It's like, you have to keep setting another goal, and you have to learn how to set goals that are not weight loss goals. If you've been living in a weight loss cycle on and off, up and down for your whole life, all you know how to do is set weight loss goals, right? You don't know how to set, okay, now I want to do a 5K. Okay, now I want to pursue a promotion in my career. Now I want to do X with my fitness. Now I want to pursue a higher deadlift, right? Like, it's just so foreign to constantly be setting new and higher targets for your fitness and health, right? So especially for the professional who's reached all the way to the top of their career, or at least the top of this echelon, they might know how to keep pushing themselves there, but usually it ends up correlating, right? Like, if you're in a weight loss cycle and you're repeating the same reality over and over, you've probably hit stagnation at some capacity in your career, or you just have so much more you could do, right? Like, they typically tend to tie together. So again, to tie that back to your point, if you keep pushing yourself in your fitness and you have a very strong pull that you're always working to create and maintain that tension, positive tension, then it does become permanent, and it becomes permanently progressive,
yeah,
right? Like, it continues on the upward trajectory as opposed to maintaining.
I think that as simple as it is too, I think that you have to get to the point where the pain of staying where you are is too brutal that you can't stay there anymore. Right. Like, I think of the relationships that I used to have. Like, I was always drinking, going to parties. A lot of my friends were doing drugs. And I remember reaching the point where I was like, this isn't really the surroundings that I want. This is only going to lead to more and more pain. And as I started to recognize that the people I was surrounding myself with were not on the same path as me, there was a clear and obvious fork in the road where it's like, are these the relationships I want to keep building, or do I want to take the courageous step to separate myself? And I think that there's a fear. I think that social media makes it harder. But if you think of like 20 years ago, if you were hanging out with a group of people and you just decided to stop hanging out with them, you would never see them again. You just wouldn't see them. And so we have this emotional connection to people from our past who no longer serve our future, who we refuse to separate ourselves from. And there has to be enough driving you forward, whether that's the pain of staying where you're at, or as Lindsay said, the thing that's pushing you to grow something that you're chasing. And I don't think there's anything wrong with deciding to just go all in on who you want to be. There's nothing wrong with, you don't have to hate everyone. You don't have to say to those people, you know, and there's anything negative about who they are. You just have to realize that they're not for you anymore. And outgrowing people and deciding to have the courage to step into that, whether that's with your health or any different endeavor, I think is the largest predictor to permanent change.
I was gonna jump in when Lindsay was talking, but I love the what you said about how, like, yeah, we want to create permanent change, but like it's always there, like it's always that possibility. And I think that's incredibly important to point out, because I think that sometimes, like, we talk about permanent change and it sounds really great, like, oh, I just stay here forever now, but it's like, no, like we still have to practice those habits that got us here. And maybe it's easier, a little bit easier to maintain, but it's still always going to be there. We still need to drink our water. We still need to make sure that we're sleeping. Like, we still need to make sure that all those things are happening. So I love that you pointed that out.
Yeah.
I love the permanently progressive. Like, I wrote that down and I was like, I'm going to use that at some point.
Somewhere.
Hope it's not trademarked. But, you know, it kind of brought me back to a theme that I've actually been kind of sitting on a lot with my own personal journey with, as you guys know, my emotions, my mental headspace with growth in general. And something that, like, really clicked for me a couple months ago, but I don't really have an exact time frame, was when it came to, I think we just recorded an episode on this as well, with talking about motivation, Christina and I, but we were talking about, like, changing your energy state, changing your mental state. And one thing that really clicked for me, that's like, in hindsight, you're like, yeah, of course, but like, until you do it, you don't really realize that the absence of the negative doesn't necessarily assume that there's the positive. And so with that push and pull, it's like the push is like, okay, like, let's get away from the negative, let's lose the weight, let's be healthier. But that doesn't necessarily assume that things are just going to stay positive. And so we have to proactively be working on that permanent change consistently. And for myself, it was the absence of anxiety does not make me confident. I have to work on the confidence after I reduce the anxiety. So just a parallel there that I've been seeing a lot, saying a lot to people, and working with a lot of people on. So just wanted to rope that in.
Yeah, that's a big point, a big important point. And I think that it's just seeing that you're, as silly as it is or sounds, your progress really does happen step by step. And I say this, we talk about this with emotions all the time, that it is a scale. Emotions are a scale. Most people, I can say that maybe. Brian told me today not to say most people, say a lot of people.
They're saying a lot of people.
A lot of people. It's very, very hard to go straight from anxiety to joy. Very, very hard. Because in one, you are very focused on something you are afraid of. Very focused on it. For you to drastically shift your focus requires a drastic shift of, as Tony Robbins would say, like your physiology, a drastic shift. Like, if you go for a sprint, you might quickly change to a different, to joy, right? But you have to drastically change your physiology, drastically change your focus, drastically change your language in order to make a jump. For a lot of people, they feel anxious. It's hard to change that habit. I'm working on it. You go from anxious to a little bit irritated to okay, content-ish to peaceful to light, maybe happy. Then you go to joy. It's usually not a snap of your fingers and now you're blissful if you're really feeling anxiety. Right.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing with weight loss. It's the same thing with personal growth. You can have life-altering moments and you can have light bulbs that change everything for you. but you can't expect that to happen on a daily basis or a weekly basis where you make a quantum leap in your progress. So it's just really appreciating that step-by-step change of who you are and of all of your habits, mental or physical.
No, I agree. I think that you have to condition yourself to be who you want to be.
Yeah.
And the only way you condition, you got to think like everything that you experience, whether it's your thoughts or your emotions or the behaviors that those thoughts and emotions lead towards, are just conditioned patterns over time. Right. So the way you think is the result of oftentimes your parents, your friends, your teachers, your society, like all those things are embedded in your thoughts. And then the more and more we experience a certain stimulus, we have a certain emotion. Those have been so ingrained in each one of us for decades and years and all these different moments. And then the more intense the experience is, obviously, the more intense the emotional reaction is. So to start to change that, we have to condition a new emotion. We have to condition a new thought. And the only way to do that is through action. And so the wonderful thing about fitness is every time that you decide to show up at the gym, you are reconditioning the way you feel about yourself. Every time you decide to push yourself a little more, you're reconditioning your confidence and faith in yourself. It's every single action, and it's stacking those actions over time that really makes the world a difference.
Yeah, I think Marissa, both of you will probably resonate with this, but it's like you think about every time you've made a gut-dropping investment that you're like, holy, what am I even doing? And then you get into if you've hired a coach or if you've hired somebody to come support you, however that may be, you think, how am I going to apply myself to make this investment worth it? And you immediately become aware of this gap between where you are and where you want to be that supposedly this investment is supposed to fill, right? But that action conditioned over and over again becomes easier. You quickly start buying into the idea that you are going to rise to the occasion. Right? Like the more investments you make in yourself, you still have that same feeling if it's a big enough investment, but quicker you get to the point of confidence. Like, hey, I'm going to step up. Of course, I'm going to get the most out of this because that's who I am. Like, I'm going to step up. I'm going to focus. I'm going to like squeeze every drop out of this and grow. So I think it's so funny because that is really the experience over and over, just conditioning yourself regardless of the area of life.
Or even thinking of like gym anxiety. Right. The first time you go to the gym, I imagine each one of us felt incredibly anxious or uncertain. And we saw people who were bigger than us or better than us. And we're like, oh my gosh. And then the more you show up and the more you get familiar with it, the more you train yourself to be comfortable in it. And it no longer feels uncertain. It feels exciting. And then you're craving going to the gym. And that's the result of 1,000 decisions that just culminate or accumulate over time to be healthy. I think that's the most important thing when you're starting your fitness journey is just remembering like, this is going to take time and I'm going to be so thankful by the end of it, as long as I keep showing up.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're watching on YouTube, Colton made a guest appearance.
What's going on?
But I love that. And none of you guys were there for Vince Pitstick's talk at the IFCA event. But something he said, and I think that there's kind of two parts to this, right? Because you're going to get comfortable with those scary environments. You're going to get comfortable with doing the hard thing over and over again. But I was actually talking to somebody. Okay, so there's two points. I have to bring them together. I was talking to somebody the other day at a Christmas party, and it was with Core Nutritionals. So there was like a bunch of like bodybuilders there. We were all talking and hanging out. And one of the bodybuilders had gotten like really deep into backpacking. And like, he goes backpacking all the time now. And I was like, what like made you really want to do this? And he was like, it's just the like primal challenge of it. Like there's nothing like it before. And what he realized and what we kind of were talking about was that he found that doing bodybuilding preps became his comfort zone. Like they were talking about, like we were just talking about, like we expose ourselves to the hard thing. We do the hard thing over again. We get more comfortable with it. But at a certain point, if we want to continue growth, I feel that there's also a point at which doing the scary thing that we've been doing over and over again is our comfort zone. And then we need to venture outside of that to continue growing further. And so for him, that was a challenge outside of a bodybuilding prep, because for him, he could do that easier than a lot of things because he's been doing it for decades. But then now getting into the backpacking, he was like, this is a whole new challenge. It's tested me in a million new ways. And he's just grown so much as a person. And it made me think of, I'm going to bring this back in, the talk that Vince Pistick gave that I haven't told you guys about yet. But one thing that he did say was when it comes to his business and his growth and his business's growth, one thing that he does to just stay all in and to continue growing and to stay fresh is every time he makes a little coin, he makes some money, he takes it all and he throws it right back into another risk, another growth opportunity, to feel like he is constantly like doing that really, really, really scary thing to stay at risk and to be all in on whatever it is he needs to do. Like you were saying, Lindsay, the investment, being aware of that gap, stepping up for that gap over and over again to force the growth. So I thought that was really cool. It just made me think of that.
Yeah. I like the idea of vertical, or yeah, we typically go vertical on our growth path. So we'll like keep making scary choices in one area of life, i.e. vertical growth. But then we realize that you have to at some point go horizontal, right? Like you have to start leaping in different ways that push you, like joining Toastmasters for you, for you and I, Marissa. Right. But all those little things, like it makes such a big difference. It continues to force you to grow all together as a human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I need to find a new club, but yes.
I know.
So I know why this is very important for our audience to hear. And Christina knows why this is very important for our audience to hear, this whole just kind of meta conversation about personal growth. But for the listener who's like, this is all great, but like, I want to get jacked and track my macros. Why are we talking about this? Can you just bridge that gap for them?
Well, I think the most important thing is to have an honest conversation about where you're at and then look at where you want to be and assess the gap in between. And so if you're someone who, let's say you want to lose 30 pounds, it's important that you meet yourself where you're at. And the piece of the puzzle is understanding that without certainty or without clarity on what you actually want and where you're going and the limitation to that growth, the thing that's in your way, you're going to find it really challenging to make the progress that you want because there's not an accurate target that you're shooting for. And you haven't gotten clear enough on the true challenges that keep you from growing or seeing progress in that way. And so I think that a lot of times with people who want to get in shape, it's like, yeah, well, I just want to lose weight. I just want to lose weight. I just want to lose weight. And there's nothing that is associated with their personal values, right? So like the reason why I wanted to get in shape was not because I wanted to just get in shape, is because I wanted to have confidence in myself. And the reason why I want to have confidence in myself is because I wanted to play college football. The reason why I wanted to play college football is because I did not want to regret not being able to take that risk and have faith in myself when I was 40 or 50 looking back. And so that was inherent. Like it was about my own relationship with myself. A lot of the people that we work with, it's like they're professionals. They have careers, they have money, they're successful. And the challenge is they're not healthy. They're not where they want to be in their body. So we have to get clear on what does progress actually mean to you and how is it going to impact your life? And once we know, oh, well, if you lose 30 pounds, it's actually going to lead to confidence, and that confidence is going to allow you to make more money and step into your role. It's like, okay, well, then there's a clear association with the thing that you value in getting healthy. So we want to start to link these pieces because that's what's going to drive us forward, because identity is the thing that drives us. If we don't see this as a part of who we're becoming, it's never going to stick. And so once we know, like, okay, I'm doing this because I want to be a better CEO. I want to be a better husband and really be the person for the men I work with. It's like, I want to be the person in my household who stays steady. I want to be, a lot of the men I work with, like two of them actually have wives who are disabled. So it's like, I want to feel like I want to be healthy so that I can make sure that they're taken care of and provide for my family. If you're a CEO and you're like, I want to be able to make sure I'm providing for all of the people in my life, like all the people who work for me, my kids, XYZ, it starts to become more important that you do show up for yourself. And then the last piece, if we don't, once we have that vision, we start to understand it. If we're not clear enough on the challenge, then, and when I say clear enough on the challenge, it's really doing a root cause analysis, which is, what is the root challenge? It's not just like, let's say you can't be consistent on your diet. Is it that you can't be consistent, or is that stress drives you to make poor decisions? Because we might be thinking like, oh, I need to understand my macros. Just tell me how much to eat. For a lot of people, the reason why they're not successful is not because they don't know what to do. It's because they haven't gotten clear enough on why they can't do it. And so once we understand the challenge, which is, hey, I have a poor time management system, or I don't know how to manage my emotions, or maybe there's a limiting belief that you have to get back to where you used to be rather than finding a new target in the future. If we're not clear enough on the thing, on the driving factor that's limiting us, then you can throw a million diets at the problem. You can throw a new workout program at the problem, but the results aren't going to stick, and you're not going to be able to follow through because it's not tailored to you as an individual beyond just your body. So it goes a lot deeper than that.
I think the biggest thing is just that for people who don't think that personal growth is a part of fitness, personal growth does not function in a silo. It's not like I'm going to get my body great and then everything in my life is going to be fabulous. I think that is a wonderful dream. And if it worked that way and you maintained your weight and you never hit another challenge again, that's awesome. But I would say that there's a lot more life to live. And the more life you live, it comes as a result of better understanding yourself and being attentive to yourself. If you can't understand what you need in a moment, you can't understand how to change. If you don't like what you're doing, or you don't like how you're showing up, or you blame other people around you, you're going to have a really hard time maintaining a new version of yourself, right? So self-awareness, personal growth, changing as a human being and a soul, that is, it's an inseparable part of the process. Because the people that you see who are shredded, who are, you can't even hold a conversation with, I guarantee that they are dying inside of insecurity, and they're using their body to mask that. So it's not to put them down, but it's to say, how much more can I become in this process of changing my body? Right? It already sounds better than just being like, I'm gonna lose 30 pounds. It's like, but what type of person do you want to become? How much better could you be? You have 90 years on this earth. Why wouldn't you want to become everything that you can? So you don't have to take on that monstrous process and say, oh, I need to do personal growth today. It's like, it's going to happen naturally. You just have to be open to it. That's more of the perspective I take, because we do have clients that come in and they're like, honestly, I don't need the mindset stuff, like quote unquote mindset stuff. I don't need like anything to change about who I am. I love everything about me. I just want to lose 30 pounds. And I'm like, we'll see. You know, so it's, everybody has their own process. So there is that too. It's a balance.
And that's also meeting yourself where you're at, right?
Correct.
Like one of the things, so Lindsay and I have done a lot of deep work when it comes to mindfulness and meditation. That's been one of the pieces that we've integrated into all of our coaching, but it's not something that we market. And the reason why is because a lot of people have a preconceived notion about what meditation is. And they have a preconceived notion about what emotions are. And actually, most people aren't even, and I can say most people, the majority of people, around 70-80%, aren't even consciously aware of the emotions that they're experiencing at any given time. And so the point is, you, as a coach, right, you have to really meet people where they're at. And I see that oftentimes happen with people who are in fitness. I told someone the other day, he's a bodybuilder, and he's like, oh, I have this client. He's like 350 pounds. And I gave him a program to track his macros and work out. And he just couldn't be consistent. And I'm like, yeah, well, how many days a week were you having him work out? And why was he even tracking macros at that point? That guy doesn't need to track macros. That guy needs to focus on hydrating, going for a walk, maybe stretching his body every couple days and getting some movement in, because where his habits are at are totally different than yours. And so I told him, I was like, what you did was, you're driving around in a Lamborghini and you gave someone the keys to it who's never driven a car. And you said, here you go, best of luck. And of course they crashed. So I think it's the responsibility of the coach to meet the clients in where they're at. And I think it's the responsibility of the client to be so certain that, hey, I'm going to take this journey from where I am at. I'm not going to worry about where I was. I'm not going to compare myself to someone else. And I think if you have the right people around you, meaning the right coaches, the right mentors, the right support system, they'll be able to progress you to the point where you can get to the point where you can drive the Lamborghini, but that might not be where you're at today.
Yeah, I love that. There was a lot in there. Before I go on another tangent, Christina, did you have any additional questions or thoughts?
I mean, I have so many different ways that I feel like I could take this conversation, which I'm sure you're feeling. So one of the questions that I've been thinking, so you guys obviously have a great dynamic. Like, you've really grown with each other. You've done the uncomfortable things. So one of the things that I'm thinking of is, like, obviously you have this great, like, spousal support. So what about the people that don't have that? Like, what about the clients that come in and their husband or their wife fights them on these changes? Like, what are some suggestions you would have for them, or what you've seen in your experience?
Yeah, it's so hard. And I really, really empathize with people in that position. And I think about it all the time just to stay grateful for Brian. Because I think about, man, if I was like, hey, I'm going to go to the gym, and he's like, what? It'd be so hard. So hard. So I think that the biggest thing is you have to have a level of certainty and confidence. And we've said that a lot throughout this, but you have to have a level of certainty and confidence in yourself, because you will not receive that affirmation, and you can't really expect it from your spouse. You can communicate, like, hey, I really need some support and affirmation on this, and I suggest that if that's what you need, but you can't expect it. And that means you have to give it to yourself. So being able to communicate well is a separate suggestion.
Yeah.
Because that's really important. If your spouse doesn't understand, or if your partner doesn't understand what you're doing or why, and they think you're beautiful anyway, and they kind of feel bad about themselves, and they don't want to get healthier, they don't want to eat the carrots, like, they just want to sit around, right? There's so many different situations, but you have to be able to communicate clearly. You have to be able to ask for what you need and then be okay, like, on your own doing it if you don't receive what you say you need. And then that confidence and certainty of, like, hey, tomorrow, communicating, I do need to go to the gym. I'm going to go at 9 a.m. I need you to be here for 30 minutes. Being able to communicate. And then if that person pushes back, your spouse doesn't support, for example, being able to say, okay, I'm sorry you feel that way. I am going to go do this for myself, but if you need me, let me know what time you need me back, right? Like, you have to have confidence and calm instead of being combative and defensive, which I think is the typical default. If, at least from a woman's perspective, like, it's like, hey, why don't you support me? But if you meet somebody in that energy, they're going to come right back at you. Yeah. So it's just not productive. What are your thoughts?
Well, so what I would say as a framework is, it's going to start with vulnerable communication and asking for help. So when we think of how do we get our spouse to support us, it starts by making it about us and not about them. Because one of the reasons why people wouldn't support what we're doing is because it triggers an insecurity inside them. And it maybe is hard for them to articulate that vulnerability. So if I can start and say, hey, can I have a conversation with you? This is really important to me. It's because of this reason, right? I don't have confidence. I just really don't feel proud of myself. I want to be a better role model for my kids, right? It's being able to spell out why it's important for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then asking them, how can we do this together? It should be something that you're approaching together to get them on the same page. And I think that if I'm being fully transparent, my inclination is to say the reason why your spouse doesn't support you is because you have other challenges. So if you take the dynamic of the relationship, it's like that's one piece that's triggered based off of other conflicts in the relationship. Because if you have a healthy relationship, you can probably have that conversation, and it's easy to ask for support, and the other person is going to be reasonable. So my advice is, start by asking for support, ask for them to have a conversation with you and communicate that. And if it gets to the point where you're not getting the support, it's making sure that you have the support elsewhere, because you might also have expected them to be your accountability partner, and that's not their role. right? Like your spouse shouldn't, like Lindsay shouldn't hold me accountable and I shouldn't hold her accountable, right? Sometimes we do in our business because like, hey, like it's that's different. The nature of work, mm-hmm. but like in a loving relationship, like my job is to cheer her on and be her biggest fan and vice versa. That's like, we have our own way of doing that, but that's really the nature of a healthy relationship. Whereas if I was like, hey, Lindsay, like you can't eat that, like stop doing that. That's not a helpful relationship. So I think that you start by having the conversation, you ask for support, you make it about you and not them. And you allow that to be the process where you're building from, and you get the support that you need externally. And that might also be a really good point for you to work on your relationship. Right. That's why I'm saying is like, if it's such a conflict inside your relationship for you to go and work on yourself, it's not the fact that you're getting in shape that's a problem. It's most likely a communication breakdown that would benefit from having a therapist or having a couple, like having someone external who can actually help you with that relationship dialogue or that dynamic as well.
Yeah. A lot of pieces there.
I love that answer.
Make it about you. I think it's the most important thing. It's like, if someone's not going to, like, if Lindsay wants to go do Toastmasters, I'm like, oh, it's so stupid. Like, why would you want to do that? Like, you could just like have a conversation with me. That's literally, but that's the equivalent.
It is.
And the reason why is because there's something about what you are doing that makes me feel insecure. Right. And that might be, you're going to outgrow me.
It might even be that I can't, like, you think I can't help you in the fitness realm.
Yeah. It might be that I feel this. So I saw an interesting study. I wish I could name the actual study, but I saw this interesting little post the other day that the majority of conflicts inside a marriage, men feel disrespected in the conflict and women feel unloved. So when there's a fight inside a relationship, women tend to perceive that fight as I'm feeling unloved. Whereas when it's in the reverse, men feel disrespected.
It's interesting.
And so that's kind of that same process. Mm-hmm. It's called this toxic cycle inside a relationship, because then it just kind of, each person just keeps doing what they're doing. But I do think that you're 100% right. It would trigger my insecurity and I would feel disrespected. So that would be why I would say, well, you can't go do that. And mm-hmm. I think that's something that's a really great place to build a relationship from, rather than see it as a barrier to take action for what you want.
I love that answer. As we wrap up, because I don't want to take too much of your time, one more question. Is that okay?
100%.
Cool. Okay. To kind of wrap us up, and I'm going to use this word intentionally because I think it's funny. We've talked about a lot of tools and habits and routines and things that have helped you, your clients, and I'm curious, what are those key habits and routines that you have found that help the most people when it comes to making a lasting transformation?
Yeah. So the habits that lead to lasting transformation, I would say that the first thing, it's really the basics, but move your body every day, no matter what. If it's 10 minutes of stretching, 10 minutes of a walk, you have to have minimums in place. And one of those minimums is movement. You also have to have minimums to track and maintain your body, which mean minimums of, I weigh myself, check in with myself a couple times a week. I take progress photos once a month, a quarter, whatever. I just make sure that I'm checking in with my physical progress or my body. Just like you'd go to the doctor, just more than once a year for the most part. And then The only other habits that we make sure that we have are ones for the mind. So if you want to keep growing and keep improving, you have to have ways to check in on you and how you're doing, whether that's daily meditation, it's writing out your goals for the day, for the week, or it's just scheduling your day. Those are things that help you mentally stay clear and organized. And those are a must. So you have to have habits for your body and habits for your mind. You can add to that.
And to make it more actionable for the person who might be starting out, I think the best thing you can do is do something for yourself in the morning. So do something like we have our podcast, Conquer the Day, and we've interviewed now almost 100 professionals, 100 high level professionals who one of our questions, or who, you know, come on the show and we talk about different things with personal growth, habits, health, and so on. And we always ask, what's the one habit you need in order to conquer your day? And 95% of those answers are, I have a productive morning.
That is very true.
So I think that if you're wanting to change yourself, you have to have a keystone habit. And the keystone habit is the one habit that you knock down that improves the other habits. So if you're starting your day the way that you've lived your whole life, mm-hmm. what do you think is going to change? Not a whole lot. If you decide that you're going to start living a new life in 2023, best thing you could do is start your morning off in a different way, because it's going to have a ripple effect through every decision that you make for not only the rest of the day, but your week, your month, your year. So I would suggest doing something like that. And the idea would be move your body, right? The idea would be,
it could be a morning routine.
Get some kind of workout in the morning, get some kind of steps. Sometimes it might just be a wake up and stretch, right? I might just wake up and do like a 5-minute stretching routine, but do something. And I find that for our clients, that's actually the number one habit that we've put in most of their programs is, hey, we're going to start with a movement morning routine just so you can start winning. And I think if most people did that, I think if most people did that, they would feel a lot better, and it would impact the way they chose to eat and everything along the lines the rest of the day.
More clarity, more intention. I would agree with you. If I were to boil it down to one, I would just say a morning routine that involves something for your body and something for your mind.
And make it less than 15 minutes.
Yes.
Don't think your morning routine doesn't have to be an hour.
Hour is great, but
yeah, it's like the stupid miracle morning. Like the amount of people who've told me, I just do the miracle morning for 30 days and I stop. It's like, well, why'd you stop? Oh, it became too hard. It's like, well, then let's make it easy again. Something that's simple and easy and obvious, just like James Clear would suggest.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. One thing we ask all of our guests before they sign off is, this is kind of along the same line, so if it's a similar answer, you can just be redundant. But if you had to give our audience one simple actionable tip to live their healthiest, most sustainable lifestyle, what would that be?
I mean, I'll have my own answer, but I'm curious to hear yours.
What?
My answer is, realize that the best tip is, we only have so much time. We only get so many opportunities to do things with our life. And being healthy is the one thing that will improve your quality of life over everything else. For me, my greatest motivation is knowing that I've watched both my parents be incredibly sick for most of my life. And it's a painful experience to not be able to live. And I think that if you could do one thing for yourself, it would be to make the 80 years that you have here healthy. Doesn't mean you have to be a bodybuilder. Doesn't mean you have to be a power lifter or go run an ultra marathon. But health is wealth. And I think if you can find your way to be healthier, you will be very thankful at the end of your life that you did that. Your kids will be thankful. Your friends will be thankful. Your time here on earth will be much more pleasant and helpful and fulfilling. So that'd be my one.
Yeah. I think the tip that I would give is, you can use, because we talked about the morning is like that time where you can do reset your mind in these ways that we're talking about. But the tip that I would have is not only get to know yourself on your journey, but get to know the you that you would like to be in 10 years, in 5 years, in a year. Try to get to know your future self and make it your mission to create and live as that person every single day, using that morning routine or whatever it is that you do, right? To get yourself set and aligned with that person. But if you do that, you're never going to stop and you're never going to feel stagnant. But the moment that you forget that there's a future you waiting to be created, you instantly feel like you're going backwards. So the goal is to always keep your sights forward. So if you can do that every single day, what does forward look like? You will continue to progress and you will never stay stuck or feel like you can't change.
I love it. Awesome. Well, this was a ton of fun. I'm so happy that you guys came on. Where can our audience catch up with you?
The best place is on our podcast, Conquer the Day. That's probably going to be the best place where you can really get to know us better, get to know a lot of our philosophy, and also share some time with us. Time and attention is the most valuable thing. And so we try to be as value driven on the podcast as possible. Mm-hmm. So that would be the one place. And then you can find me at Brian Pickowitz on Instagram or Facebook.
And you can find me at Lindsay Rago on Facebook and Rago Bomb on Instagram.
Okay, she's cool. She's the bomb.
That's it. But our website is thefitnessproject.us. Super easy. So you can find us there, but we definitely suggest podcasts. That's where we do where we go the deepest on our content.
I love it. Awesome. Well, oh man, I haven't signed off one of these in a long time, but thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast. You can find me at Marissa Roy Fitness and Christina is at Christy Lynn Fit. Thank you so much for listening and we hope to see you guys back next week. Thank you so much for listening to the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast, and we hope you enjoyed this episode and learned something from it. Please remember that Christina and I are not medical professionals, so if you're going to make any changes to your exercise or nutrition routines, please consult with your doctor or medical team first. Finally, we would love you even more than we already do if you took the time to leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Ratings and reviews are how this podcast moves up the ranks and becomes accessible to even more people. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next Tuesday here at the Barbell Lifestyle Podcast.